Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You shared some really fascinating material, and today we're zeroing in on something fundamental.
Yeah, the absolute basics of life, really.
DNA and, well, its versatile cousin, RNA. You can maybe think of DNA as the cell's, like, heavily guarded master blueprint.
Mm-hmm. The secure vault.
While RNA is more the adaptable workhorse, you know, bringing those plans to life.
Or like DNA is the hard drive, the long-term storage.
Right, and RNA is more like the RAM, the active memory.
Exactly. Temporary busy.
So our goal here is to really get a handle on what makes these two crucial molecules different and the unique jobs they do.
And it's pretty striking, isn't it, how similar they are fundamentally, but how they've become so specialized.
Yeah.
For these distinct but totally collaborative roles. It's a great example of molecular specialization.
Okay, so let's dive right in. At their core, what are DNA and RNA really all about? We know DNA has the complete genetic code, right? That unique instruction set.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. DNA holds that master plan. Everything needed for, well, development, survival, reproduction. And it's passed down through generations.
The inheritance molecule.
Right. And RNA, well, it acts the go-between. It takes specific instructions just for one gene, usually.
Like a snippet of the plan.
Exactly. Takes that snippet from the DNA and uses it as a template to build proteins, which are, you know, the cell's workhorses.
So RNA is like a working copy, ready for action.
Pretty much. DNA is that stable, long-lasting blueprint.
Right. But RNA isn't just, like, a passive messenger, is it? It does more.
Oh, definitely not passive. It actively takes part in building those proteins, guiding how the amino acids line up, and it even has regulatory jobs.
Like telling DNA what to do sometimes.
Or other RNA molecules, yeah. It can influence gene activity. So it's much more dynamic than just carrying messages.
Okay, this is where the molecular details get, well, interesting. The structural differences. These must be key to their different roles. Let's start with the sugar part. DNA has deoxyribose.
Right.
Which is missing an oxygen atom.
That's a really crucial difference. That missing hydroxyl group on one of the carbons, compared to ribose in RNA, makes DNA much more chemically stable.
Ha! Huh.
And that stability is absolutely essential for its job as the long-term storage for genetic info. Think of it like archive quality paper versus a regular note.
Gotcha. Okay, and then the bases, the ATGC letters in DNA.
Right. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine.
And RNA uses A, G, and C too, but it swaps T for U, thymine for uracil.
Exactly. So where DNA pairs A with T, RNA pairs A with U.
Why? What's the point of swapping T for U? Is uracil better for RNA somehow?
Well, it's interesting. Uracil is very similar to thymine structure-wise, but it's a bit less stable. And importantly, it's energetically cheaper for the cell to make.
Ah, okay. So cheaper fits with RNA's sort of temporary working copy role.
That's the idea. It aligns with RNA having a more transient life in the cell compared to the permanence of DNA, like a quick memo versus a carved tablet.
Makes sense. And what about the overall shape, the structure of the molecules?
Well, DNA, as most people know, is usually that double helix. Two strands twisted together.
Like a ladder twisted up.
Yeah. And that double-strand structure adds stability, protects the information inside. It's like having a built-in backup copy.
And RNA, we usually see pictures of it as just a single strand.
That's generally right.
Yeah.
And being single-stranded lets RNA fold up into all sorts of complex 3D shapes.
Like origami.
Kind of, yeah. These intricate shapes are critical for its various functions, especially when it's involved in building proteins.
Okay, so let's just quickly recap those key structural differences. We've got the sugar, deoxyribose in DNA, ribose in RNA, mm-hmm. The bases. DNA uses T, thymine. RNA uses U, uracil, along with A, G, and C,
right.
And the strands. DNA usually double, RNA often single.
That sums it up nicely.
It's pretty clear how these differences in the basic building blocks and structure really dictate their different jobs in the cell.
Absolutely. And that seemingly tiny change, just losing one oxygen atom in the sugar, that's a fantastic example of, you know, evolutionary efficiency.
Oh, so?
Well, making DNA more stable, let it take on that huge job of permanent information storage. That kind of freed up RNA, the more versatile but less stable molecule, to do all these other essential, often temporary tasks.
Right. No, RNA isn't just one thing, is it? You mentioned different jobs. There are different types involved in making proteins, like mRNA, tRNA, RNA.
Yes, the protein production crew.
Let's break down what each one does. Messenger RNA. mRNA.
So mRNA, like the name says, carries the genetic message. A gene in the DNA gets transcribed into an mRNA molecule inside the nucleus.
Okay.
Then that mRNA molecule travels out of the nucleus into the main part of the cell. the cytoplasm.
Where the protein factories are, the ribosomes.
Exactly. It delivers the blueprint to the ribosome.
So if the cell needs, say, insulin, the insulin gene gets copied into mRNA, and that mRNA goes to the ribosome with the instructions.
Precisely. Then you have transfer RNA, or tRNA. Think of these as specialized delivery trucks.
Okay.
Each tRNA truck carries one specific type of amino acid, the building blocks of proteins.
And how does it know which amino acid to bring where?
Ah, well, each tRNA has a special sequence called an anticodon. This anticodon recognizes and sticks to a matching three-letter code, called a codon, on the mRNA molecule.
So the mRNA lays out the sequence of codons.
Right.
And the tRNAs line up, matching their anticodons to the codons, bringing the right amino acid each time, like a very precise docking system.
Got it. That ensures the amino acids get linked together in the exact order the gene specified.
Cool. And the last one, ribosomal RNA.
Right, rRNA. This stuff is actually a major part of the ribosome itself. It makes up like 60% of the ribosome's mass.
So it's not just carrying messages or blocks. It is the machine, partly.
A huge part of it, yeah. It has structural roles holding the ribosome together, but also catalytic roles.
Catalytic, like an enzyme.
Exactly. RNA helps line up the mRNA and the tRNAs correctly. And crucially, it actually catalyzes the reaction that forms the peptide bonds, the chemical links between the amino acids. It stitches the protein chain together.
Wow. Okay, so let's try that analogy again. DNA is the head chef with the master recipe book locked in the office.
Mm-hmm.
mRNA is the sous chef who carefully copies one recipe onto a card.
Yep.
tRNAs are the kitchen porters, each one bringing exactly the right ingredient when the recipe card calls for it.
Good one.
And rRNA is actually part of the stove in the countertop, the workstation, where the sous chef and porters assemble the dish according to the recipe card.
That's a really excellent way to put it. It really shows how it's a team effort, all these RNAs working together based on the DNA's plan.
So how does the cell actually, you know, make these copies, DNA replication and RNA transcription? How do these copying machines work?
Okay, so DNA replication is about making identical copies of the entire DNA molecule. All the chromosomes.
When does that happen?
Before a cell divides, you need to make sure each new daughter cell gets a complete, perfect set of instructions, like backing up your entire computer before you upgrade.
And it has to be super accurate, I guess.
Incredibly accurate. There's a whole team of enzymes involved. You've got helicase, which is like a zipper, unwinding the double helix at a spot called the replication fork.
Okay.
Then DNA polymerase comes in. That's the builder. It reads the existing strands and adds the correct new nucleotides to build the complementary strands. It's very, very good at proofreading, too.
Wow.
And then ligase acts like glue, sealing up any little gaps in the new DNA backbone.
Okay, a whole construction crew. Now, RNA transcription, that's making RNA from DNA. How's that different?
Well, the big difference is scale. Transcription only copies a specific section, usually just one gene, or maybe a few related genes from the DNA, not the whole thing.
So back to the cookbook analogy, it's just copying one recipe when you need it, not the entire book every time.
Exactly. Much more targeted.
And the main enzyme here, is it polymerase again?
It's RNA polymerase this time.
Yeah.
A different machine. It latches onto the DNA at specific start signals called promoter regions right before a gene.
Like road signs for the enzyme.
Sort of, yeah. Then it unwinds a little bit of the DNA right there and reads one of the DNA strands to build a matching RNA molecule using U instead of T, of course.
Fascinating. And it's amazing how this stuff plays out, you know, beyond the textbook diagrams. DNA tech is everywhere in medicine now.
Oh, absolutely. Think about ancestry tracing, paternity tests. That's all DNA analysis.
Right. And diagnosing genetic diseases, too, like cystic fibrosis.
Yes. Cystic fibrosis, Huntington's disease, many others. It relies on spotting specific changes in the DNA sequence. Plus, we use DNA tech to identify bacteria or viruses causing infections.
And RNA is really having its moment now, too, isn't it? Especially mRNA.
Definitely. The COVID-19 vaccines were a huge demonstration of mRNA technology, using mRNA to basically tell our own cells how to make a viral protein.
So our immune system learns to fight the real virus.
Exactly. And the potential is just huge. People are looking at mRNA for cancer treatments, for treating rare genetic disorders, a very active area, targeted therapies.
And we can't forget forensics, DNA fingerprinting.
A game changer in criminal justice. Solving crimes, identifying victims, even proving people were wrongly convicted years later.
It's powerful stuff. What about in, like, biotech generally?
Tons of applications. Genetically engineering crops, making them higher yield, or resistant to pests or drought. That's DNA tech.
Like GMOs.
Yes, that involves manipulating DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Also producing medicines. A lot of protein-based drugs, like insulin for diabetes, are now made using recombinant DNA technology in bacteria or yeast.
And RNA gets involved there too.
Yeah, there's a technique called RNA interference, or RNAi. It uses small RNA molecules to specifically shut down, or silence, certain genes. It's a powerful research tool, and potentially therapeutic too.
Okay, let's maybe tackle some common myths or misunderstandings about this stuff. One I hear is that all DNA mutations are bad.
Right, that's a big one. But it's not true. Many mutations are actually silent. They don't change anything functionally. Some can be harmful, sure, but others can be neutral or even beneficial. That's how evolution works, through these variations.
So not always bad news.
Definitely not.
Okay, another one, maybe more recent. The idea that mRNA vaccines can somehow change your DNA.
Yeah, that caused a lot of confusion. But scientifically, it's just not how it works. The mRNA from the vaccine does its job in the cytoplasm, the main part of the cell.
Outside the nucleus where the DNA is kept.
Exactly. It never enters the nucleus. And the mRNA molecule itself gets broken down by the cell pretty quickly. It can't merge with or alter your DNA blueprint.
Good to clarify. What about the idea of like one gene equals one trait? Is it that simple?
Usually not. Most traits, especially complex ones like height or intelligence, are influenced by many genes interacting with each other, plus environmental factors. It's rarely just one gene doing one thing.
Okay.
And related to that, just because a trait is dominant doesn't mean it's the most common one in the population. That's another mix-up sometimes.
Right. And finally, this idea that RNA is just unstable and only makes proteins.
Well, some RNA, like mRNA, is meant to be relatively short-lived. But other types, like RNA and tRNA, are much more stable because they have ongoing jobs. And as we touched on, RNA does way more than just protein synthesis. Gene regulation, catalysis like enzymes, even defense against viruses in some organisms. It's incredibly versatile.
Okay, let's shift gears for some fun facts. I read that if you stretched out the DNA in just one of your cells, it's about 6 feet long.
That's right. Packed into a microscopic nucleus. It's incredible compression.
And if you took all the DNA from all your cells and laid it end to end, it would stretch to Pluto and back hundreds of times, something like 110 billion miles.
The numbers are just astronomical. It really gives you a sense of the sheer amount of information packed inside us.
And here's one that blows my mind. Data storage. Apparently, a few grams of DNA could theoretically hold all the world's digital data.
It's incredibly dense information storage. Nature perfected it long before we invented hard drives.
Wild. And, you know, despite all that DNA, we're all remarkably similar, aren't we?
About 99.9% identical at the DNA level, human to human. That tiny 0.1% difference accounts for all our individual uniqueness.
Amazing. And there's even bits of viral DNA in our genome.
Yeah, about 5 to 8% of our DNA is thought to be remnants of ancient viruses that infected our ancestors millions of years ago and got integrated into the germline. Part of our evolutionary history.
Wow. Okay, last quirky one. How much DNA do we share with a cabbage?
Well, depends how you count, but estimates are often around 50% of our genes have a recognizable counterpart in a cabbage.
50% with a cabbage.
It just shows that fundamental core toolkit of life, the genes for basic cell functions, is shared across incredibly diverse organisms. We all came from common ancestors way back.
That really puts things in perspective.
It really does.
So, okay, bringing it all back. DNA and RNA, they have these differences, right? Sugar, base, strands. But they're totally an indispensable team, a partnership in the cell.
Absolutely. A dynamic duo.
DNA is the stable master plan, the archive.
Holding the information securely.
And RNA is the versatile worker, taking that information out and doing all sorts of jobs with it, especially building proteins, the cell's machinery.
Couldn't have life as we know it without both, working together perfectly. It's really a beautiful system at the molecular level.
Well, thanks for taking this deep dive into DNA and RNA with us today. We really hope it's given you maybe a clearer picture of these amazing molecules.
Yes, hope it was useful.
And now, maybe a final thought for you to chew on. Think about how those seemingly small structural tweaks between DNA and RNA, that one oxygen atom difference, swapping T for U, single strand versus double, how did those subtle changes enable the unbelievable complexity and adaptability of life we see all around us? What other tiny molecular differences might be out there having huge biological effects we haven't even figured out yet?